Welcome to the Panducto Corncast.
Yeah, motherfucker.
And today we have a very special guest who we've allowed into our home.
Oh, we've got a guest.
Hi.
Today we've got a guest.
We've got a guest. Let's not get crazy with the descriptives here.
He is my friend.
Our friend.
And yours. He's
your friend and mine, you mean?
I'm talking to the audience.
To the general public.
I don't think he's their friend.
Baby, can I just do the intro?
I can't be.
He'll be your friend, though. He's down.
He's a director. He's a writer. And his name is Drew Tobia.
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining our living room.
We let Drew inside of our house amidst COVID.
And he's been isolating, though, just a little background. He's been very steadfast in his isolation.
Very steadfast. Some of the most...
As have we.
Most steadfast isolation I've ever heard of. Yeah, I mean, we did go to a candlelit vigil earlier this week.
Yeah, but
you
guys
are probably putting me at risk, honestly.
I was in a fucking hazmat suit.
That's true.
Gloved up, mask on.
Anyway, but for the intro, you don't... I mean, I guess you could maybe be involved in the intro.
I can keep my mouth shut.
That'll be the fucking first time.
It would be the first time
for
I could
that.
Do it.
That's why we're recording this.
For posterity.
For posterity. We're recording you not talking.
It's very hard.
It's a special one, though, today, sweetie. Right now.
Wait, we're not talking about that. First we do our intro.
Motherfucker.
How are you doing, babe?
I don't like the intro. How am I doing? The world is burning. It's an intense time. Mm-hmm. How am I doing is that I'm glad to be here with friends watching a movie. I should smoke some weed.
Yeah, you should smoke out of the weed yam. Why don't you tell everybody about the weed yam?
That's, you know, I think the weed yam is something that's come out of this whole pandemic. That I think when it's looked back on, you know, and
when
sort
it's
of,
looked back
when
on,
when it's looked back on, mm-hmm. People, a small group of people, might point to my invention of the weed yam as maybe the greatest innovation
to
come out of this pandemic, the great pandemic of 2020.
I do want to interject here and say that it was my idea because you were searching desperately for an apple. We didn't have one. We didn't have any good. You know, weed fruit. And then I was like, hey, babe, what about the yam? Why don't you use the yam?
And I was the inventor of the weed yam?
Well, she's the suggester of the invention of the weed yam.
Okay.
I mean,
she's the idea person.
I'm the ideas person.
And you're the one who carries it out.
I just carry it out, yeah. Yep, exactly.
This is how innovation...
This is how it went down.
This is how it happens.
It was a team effort, but I'm the engineer behind the whole thing. Needless to say, we pulled it off as a team, and now I have a completely functional weed yam.
I was really impressed. I've never seen anything like it.
It's really great, too. And you know the thing about they don't tell you about yams in weed yam college?
Mm-hmm. What's the yams?
Is they don't seem to break down as fast as, say, an apple.
Yeah, correct. Apples get rotten.
Correct.
You know? So... I might have to unplug here because now all this talk of the weed yam makes me want to smoke.
Well, Drew can get you the weed yam because he's not...
No, I can't... No. Drew's welcome in the home, but he can't touch shit that I'm putting in my mouth.
Yeah,
right now.
I think that's probably a good rule.
All right.
You know, we're relaxing...
I am not allowed.
We're relaxing some restrictions for him, but not all of them.
Yeah.
I'm like 6 feet away from you guys.
You
he's
are.
He's not
yeah,
allowed
you are.
To spit in my mouth anymore.
Right.
Which
That's
was our
over.
Favorite game.
And it's hard. It's hard being this close to you, not tasting, you know, your spit.
Yeah. We have a sort of a loosely framed marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not a sexual thing.
No.
It's a friendship thing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's about trust.
Of course. Trust spit.
De jour is about trust.
I remember playing those games in school.
Call it de jour.
It's a Josie and the Pussycats reference. Have you not seen that movie?
Didn't you make me watch it?
She fucking made me watch it, I'll tell you.
I wish
much.
That
I
we would do
it.
That movie for this podcast. It's really good.
It is pretty good.
Parker Posey is
it. It wasn't my favorite,
Alan
but
Cumming?
I did like the Alan Cummings and Parker Posey stuff.
Anyway, are you going to get the weed yam? Is that something you need right now?
I do. But all I'm right. so comfortable.
Oh my god. I'm not getting up.
All right, I'll get the fucking weed in.
All right, now that Jamie's gone. How are you doing, Drew?
I'm pretty good. This is kind of a new thing for me to see people again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. So I'm happy to do this and watch this movie that I probably haven't seen since middle school.
Really?
I don't think I've seen The Matrix since middle school.
Wow.
I mean, I watched this movie a lot.
Yeah.
In middle school, and I probably...
You were a nerd.
I wasn't a nerd. I was just a gay middle schooler.
I don't think... Is The Matrix inherently gay?
That's kind of gay.
Why?
Why?
Because of all, like, the leather.
Yeah. That's pretty gay. It's
very Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess it's not necessarily gay.
I wouldn't...
But, I mean, the Wachowskis are trans.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Those are the directors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm doing...
Weed Yam, activate.
Did you do it yet?
Well, I've got the other Weed Yam that's not as good because it's closer, too close, but...
Okay, so how I'm doing...
Yeah, how are you doing, babe?
How are you doing?
Oh, I dropped Run the Jewels 4 this week.
Oh, you just felt the need to cut me off to... Yeah.
No, I just remembered.
Yeah.
You asked me how I was doing, and I remember that I just dropped the biggest album of my career.
Yeah, but I was about to talk about me.
Well, we'll get to that, because this convolves you, too.
A lot of people don't know I wrote that whole fucking record.
I know.
You can, I mean, if you know me and my rap style, then you can tell I'm all over
it's
that
all
shit.
All over that.
I ghost wrote both of the part, Mike and Jamie's raps.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows.
I love your raps.
Thank you. Put a lot of work into those. Mostly.
Yeah.
Based on my personal experiences.
Anyway, that's all I had to say. I'm sorry. So what about you, babe?
No, it's cool. You put out the record. That was really exciting. It was an exciting day because it was highly anticipated in a way where people were constantly even DMing me and being like, tell L to drop Run the Jewels
4.
Yeah,
I was basically a victim of like mass harassment for the past year.
Well, I mean, listen, talk to Rihanna about being a victim of mass harassment to drop an album. Yes, way worse than you.
I don't understand why she hasn't dropped it yet. You know, she keeps making these like makeup kits. It's like no one wants the makeup kits, Rihanna. Like make an album. It's been like 7 years.
I think people do want the makeup kits.
They do want. I want the makeup kits.
I think she's killing the game.
Fenty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I know stuff.
I want that high fashion Fenty shit. Her Fenty line. It's nice.
Well, anyway,
it's pretty cool silhouettes.
Whatever the fuck. Listen, can we talk about The Matrix here?
Yes.
Because we do have some.
Okay,
something.
So we're going
to a little
watch...
bit more important than Revolution to talk about here.
And it's a movie from
a 21-year-old
2000...
movie. 1999.
It's 1999. I saw this in the theater with.
I saw it in the theater with my mom.
So Opio from Souls of Mischief was in New York. He ended up crashing at my place in Brooklyn. This is 1999. And we went to see this film. And at the time, if you remember correctly, I don't know if you would remember.
Probably don't remember.
But do you remember the advertisements for it?
What is The Matrix?
The trailers.
What is The Matrix? They wouldn't tell you what it was.
I
had no idea.
They completely kept secret what the whole movie was.
Oh.
And they made
right.
You really
it was
could
really
not
exciting.
Tell.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even that. It looked like a really cool action movie. But they did not show you what the whole flip of it was.
Yeah.
In a rare display of like studio restraint, they actually kept the secret.
Mm-hmm. And I saw it opening weekend.
I saw it opening weekend, opening day, during the day with
Opio. Me too. I saw it in the daytime, and there was no one in the theater.
Saw it on 14th Street. I saw it at. Wouldn't it be funny if we were in the same?
I was at that screen. No, I was at the Broadway Mall.
You were in New York,
Hicksville, New York.
Oh yeah,
Long Island, Broadway Mall. I saw all three of the Matrix movies at the Broadway Mall. Aside,
needless to say, this movie, I consider this movie to be. Some movies you can point to and for whether or not they're you can look back at them and pick it apart or say that this is great or not great or whatever. You know, things change in terms of the opinion about it. But what this movie did for people when it came out, had never been done before.
It made it so that it was okay to wear long leather trench coats.
It made it so that it was okay to think the entire world was against you and that there was actually a real world.
My paranoid sweetie. That's for you.
Well, Philip K. Dick in, I think, 1976, if I'm not mistaken, did a press conference in which he was a big sci-fi author at the time. He called a press conference. He's in France. And everybody comes. It's a big thing. Everyone's sitting there. And he comes up, and he then proceeds to say that he has discovered that we're living in a simulation, he started to list certain things about the simulation that you could tell that it's a simulation. Anyway, all this, the Matrix, the Wachowskis, and everyone, they completely bit what Philip K. Dick said. Shit that he said is literally plot points. Mm-hmm. And I won't spoil it, although I guess it doesn't fucking matter, right? If you haven't seen The Matrix by now, we're not here to hold your hand. 21-year-old
movie,
you know?
I don't know if you can spoil that.
Yeah,
anymore,
exactly.
Right?
So the whole deja vu thing, you remember this movie?
I remember definitely the beginning of it. And some other parts.
Damn, so you really don't remember this movie. You're in for a fucking treat. You're in for terribly dressed.
I love
No,
the
they
outfits.
Are awesome.
I think the costumes in this movie are great.
Yeah, what's her name? The female lead? She looks awesome.
Trinity.
You know, all right, I will say this. I don't mind the way they look until it kind of gets to the end when they start really dressing to the nines.
I love it so much.
I'm not really as
with
much
the Oakleys
into
Oakleys and
like
the
fucking like yeah, like lizard like leathers.
I loved it. So, I thought it was the coolest thing.
Okay, wait. I remember I don't know if this is good.
One
for
of the
me
chicks
to...
looks like Ace of Base.
I loved Ace of Base.
I did too.
I remember him waking up and he's in a little pod surrounded by other people because he's woken up out of the
pod.
Thing, out of the thing.
And then he's with the other pod people.
Right. Right?
All right. Well, you're in for a treat.
Okay.
But this is something we have both seen, so it's a little different than the... Well, shit. I mean, The Ring we've both
seen. You've seen The Ring. But it's the same kind of thing where I've seen, like, pieces of this movie, but I've never really sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Damn, imagine not knowing really what's going to happen in the Matrix.
Because I was telling her, I don't think I've seen this movie since like middle school. Like, when did it? Oh, no, I guess it was.
I'm legitimately older than you guys, aren't I? I guess. I knew that about my wife.
You're like 10 years older than me, right?
Yeah.
I'm 45.
Yeah, you're 10 years older than me.
All right, fair enough.
But,
So wait, when we saw it, though, it fucked us up. We saw the shit.
So wait, so what was it about the advertising that made you so hyped to see it that you were like, I'm going to go see it opening?
So exciting.
Even the sections of the movie that they used for the advertising looked amazing. It looked like a fucking gunplay, like almost like an anime, and that's kind of what it is. It just looked, you know, it looked great, but they didn't even hint at
what the
movie really was.
You go to the website was whatisthematrix.com, and like it was the coolest website of all time, and now it's been archived and it's not the coolest website of all time.
So here's something also interesting about The Matrix, and I actually do want to check that website out. But The Matrix is one of like three or four movies that came out in like a two-year period. That was sort of tackling the same idea.
Oh, right. You told me this. What was the other one?
Well, there were
the 13th Floor?
13th Floor, Existenz.
Okay. I love Existenz.
Dark City.
Oh, yeah.
And The Matrix. Now,
I remember when The Matrix came out, I thought it was a ripoff of Dark City.
It was. The Matrix was so much of a ripoff of Dark City that you can go online and you can see side-by-side shots of it and the plot. It absolutely was a ripoff of somehow... They were making parallel movies at the same time, basically. So much so, The Matrix actually used the same sets. And they used the same wardrobe.
But they shot The Matrix before Dark City came out?
I don't know that. All I know is that they came out within a year of each other.
Yeah.
And they were literally using the same sets.
Okay, well, if any
sets.
Listeners know the answers to these questions.
It's online. If we just don't know offhand.
I would like the listeners to do the legwork here and just feel free to reach
usually
out to
our...
Usually
in a podcast, you give the listeners information, but in this one...
No.
So I have a theory about it. I have a theory about why it was Existenz, The Matrix, The 13th Floor... and Dark City all released within like a 4 or 3 year period of each other. This sort of this sci-fi that is suggesting that there is a that the fundamental fabric of reality isn't real.
Is that when we booted up?
And you know, what they're all saying that in different ways. All those movies, right? And then I started to wonder if that meant, if you know, like what this movie did for people, honestly, even though it's had some negative reverberations too, because once idiots got a hold of the movie, they were like, it's like my
red
racism.
Pill.
Oh, God,
it's just like racism.
That.
Yeah, you know, like it's like I, like, you know.
Which I still don't totally understand what that means in the context of like 4chan.
It's just motherfuckers being like, getting red pilled is all of a sudden seeing the like the racist and conservative perspective, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What if watching this movie right now turns me racist?
Wow. I don't,
you know, the problem.
Something
is,
to consider for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if we should watch it. It might be too dangerous.
It might be. We might all finally. It's usually on the 20th viewing, I think.
That
it's like a much slower
racist.
The Ring.
It's so sad.
Like, God damn it. Why does it take 10 times for it to hit?
It takes 20 years.
Anyway, well, whatever. I won't go into my theory about it. It doesn't matter.
Wait, I want to know.
What's your theory?
Well,
just be succinct.
You know, I not a theory so much as a curiosity, and I always wondered about that. Like, what makes art, what makes big sort of epochal, like, you know, ideas all happen at the same time,
like ants in a bug's life.
A bunch of people are trying
to collective conscious.
Right. Okay. Cool. So the collective conscious, and for some reason, is driven right now through multiple different people around exactly the same time to try and make a movie that would crack that and make people feel something about that. Right. In the sense that, like, by the time The Matrix came along, that was the one that really hit. It was like the fifth one. Yeah. And that was the one that, like, just really smacked everybody's, you know, faces with and really clicked and became huge culturally. Mm-hmm. To the point where now that theory, that idea of there being a false reality constructed around you, the simulation even, that theory is now generally understood and known throughout the world. I mean, in a lot of ways. And the science actually pursuing that very truth has been real and been very and had come very far since then.
Was it Elon Musk that said it's highly likely that we are living in a simulation?
Yeah, and you know, and
we love that guy.
We love him. Yeah, he's always
he is
killing
great.
Me.
I just love. He's an entrepreneur.
Just love entrepreneurs.
He's an entrepreneur.
Just love
and
entrepreneurs.
I mean, he's America's genius. Oh wait, he's not American.
He's America's
is he?
Boy genius.
Isn't he Canadian or something? You know what else you might
South
be able to lump
he's
in?
South African. Anyway.
You could lump in Truman Show.
Oh,
Truman
I
Show
love
as well.
Truman
Show as well.
It also came out right around the same
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, Truman Show as well. So you have this force, right? You have this all these directors for some reason all operating differently.
Love the Truman Show.
Well, I mean, if we can agree that there are forces that are out there that use media and film and entertainment for nefarious reasons, in other words, to control or to suggest a class structure, an idea about whether it be the legitimate document, you know, the legitimate truth that the military works with movies all the time, like it's not even hidden. It's they just absolutely work directly with, you know, and you look at all the sort of jingoistic sort of like propaganda action shit that gets put out there. So you can look as an intelligent person
Law
and be like,
and order and
they're
cop
all,
shows
all, but in the, and even in the action flicks and all the shit through the 80s, all you have to do is watch an 80s action flick to see who we were trying, who we were being racist to now.
Right.
You know, whether, you know, it was like Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, whatever it was, Rambo, like.
Right.
And what, so point being is that you can look at this shit and you can say, all right, there are clearly forces that are trying to use entertainment to control. us to put messages out that have an agenda behind the entertainment. That's why it gets funded. That's why, you know, that's obvious. So being that's obvious and we can accept that, I think, I mean, it's actually just the truth. Then could there in fact be something happening on the opposite side of that? Could there be some sort of force of good trying to infiltrate, you know, the same and use the same tools to propagate messages that mankind might need to hear? You've got the military putting, you know, using it for the idea of authoritarianism and control and power, and propagating it to little kids and making them run around with their shirts off screaming, I'm in 1985 that they're you know,
Rambo?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rambo, like, so Rambo 3, for instance, his he was fighting with Bin Laden.
Not sure. I've only ever seen First Blood.
Like, you know, yeah, essentially.
Oh, and the last one.
The third one. The one where it was like the big Rambo, right. Like the
when
big
it was
one.
When it became Rambo, it was and was like, not yeah, First yeah, Blood yeah, 2 yeah. anymore.
And, yeah, he was fighting with, yeah, he was fighting with ISIS, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, against Russians. You know, and so it's just like, you know, it's you look back on that and you're like, oh, that's the propaganda of the day. You know what I mean? Yeah, whatever it is. And the army works with them, gives them the equipment, allows them, you know, trains them. So I would say that's a force for evil to me. And so then is there a force for good out there? Because a movie like The Matrix was attempted to be made about five times in the same 2 years.
I think it's just smart people getting it in under the radar. I don't think that there's like a powerful force for good that's like funding these movies.
I don't know how powerful it is. I'm just saying that sometimes I feel like they're like, sure, I hear you. Look. But five of those films from five different directors in the same 2 year period is a lot of attempts to make the same statement, like for out of nowhere. And it's not like it's commercially viable. Four out of five of those films flopped and didn't make any money, but were expensive. You know, so I don't know. It's interesting to me where I'm just like, okay, The Matrix came out and all of a sudden everyone who had never thought about the physical existence of reality and whether or not it could be actually an illusion, everybody in America now knows it has this concept embedded in their philosophy.
Okay, I have something to say about this.
You love The Truman Show.
I do love The Truman Show. But what I was going to say was that the whole plot of Josie and the Pussycats also has to do with this. The plot of Josie and the Pussycats is that the government is using pop music to get people to buy stuff. So yeah, I think that they were
and
on the Josie same
and
wavelength.
Josie and the Pussycats is one of those movies that you can find like YouTubes and conspiracy theory and shit on it for sure.
Well, the whole thing is about hidden messages in music and like.
I mean, look, Philip K. Dick wrote a book called Radio Free Albemuth, which was, in essence, a book. His character, he worked at a record label, or his friend worked at a record label, and they started to try and put subliminal protest messages in it. And it's just interesting to me to think, like, well, it's funny how there's a war going on, and one is to destroy consciousness, and another one might be to open it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And no matter what you think about The Matrix, the film, that phenomenon of actually changing the way that people think on a mass scale is very fucking rare. Like, I can't think of necessarily another movie that has done that, where it literally introduced a pretty high-end concept of a simulation, you know, generated simulation. Anyway.
I can't think of one.
Tron kind of did that a little bit, but it was more like, it wasn't like, this is real. It was like, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. All right, on that note.
Okay.
I'm going to smoke a cigarette now.
All right.
And then I'll be ready.
And I guess I'll pour myself another drink.
Now, after the longest intro of all time, please enjoy listening to us watch The Matrix. Spoilers ahead.
All right, we're going to do this. All right.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Without further ado, The Motherfucking Matrix.
Now remember how cool you thought these credits were?
They were cool.
Oh, my dog is kicking me right now. Jesus. She's afraid to have her mind blown.
Like, I don't know if this is going to be interesting because all I'm going to have to say is like, God, remember how cool that was?
Remember how cool it was when all the fucking words and numbers were raining down?
I do. I do remember how cool that was.
The Matrix.
In the first scene, we see cops outside of a disgusting door just before they bust it open in pursuit of Trinity, who we see sitting at a computer.
They were like, grittier. Make the door grittier.
Yeah. No, literally splatter it with shit.
God, I had such a crush on her.
I mean, she's really hot. She's just, like, stunning.
Stunningly beautiful.
I just love her eyes.
Drew,
is that all you have to come?
She's got such cool boobs and stuff.
She does.
Okay, you sound like such a poser right now because her boobs aren't even that cool.
Hey, I'm just doing my job.
She's just like edgy.
That jewelry is my addiction, crap. You can cram it up your ass.
You order Hello.
For your protection. I think we can handle one little girl.
Good acting.
I think it kind of is.
The cop?
I think he's pretty good. ACAB.
Bring her down now. No, Lieutenant, your men are already dead.
God, look at that ass.
Look at that butt. Oh my God, that shiny, shiny butt.
Sick.
She's introduced killing cops and she's the good guy.
Yeah, man.
It's timely.
Right? Do you think I should go for this look?
I was actually thinking I should go for this look. It's hard for me not to see this dude as the elf from Lord of the Rings.
It's hard for me not to see him as an Australian drag queen.
That too.
What movie is that?
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
And that is what we call range.
He's got it.
I mean, I think that still looks cool.
It does, of course. It's
really still very good.
Okay, you're yelling.
Oh, I clipped the mic.
Too loud.
Listen, I'm going to get very excited. It's The Matrix.
You know, Will Smith was supposed to be Neo.
I just said that.
Yeah, Drew told me that before. And I said it's kind of like Men in Black. It's a similar role to what he played in Men in Black.
What are you talking about?
Neo and Will Smith's character in Men in Black are kind of similar. They get brought in, and then their mind is expanded either by aliens or the Matrix.
It's about a character that something happens to him, and he makes a change.
That's right.
So it's very similar, yeah.
Trying to watch the movie.
Now we see Thomas Anderson, aka Neo, sleeping at his computer where news articles appear to be downloading before text starts showing up on the screen addressing him by name.
What did the screen say?
Follow the white rabbit.
Oh God, I forgot about his hot friends.
I know. It's her fault.
That girl's hair and makeup is very cool. Come on.
It is.
White rabbit.
And her outfit. What if I start dressing like this?
I'd hang out with you a lot more.
I love
more.
That Wachowski's like completely weird imagining of like what cool people are like.
Right.
They're like, this is what cool people are like, right? This is, they wear pleather.
And they listen to Rob Zombie. I remember being really upset that my dad wouldn't buy me pleather pants. I'm so glad we're watching this movie.
Here is where Morpheus calls Neo at work to casually let him know that agents are after him, but that he, a stranger, can help direct him out of the building.
They're coming for you, Neo. I don't know what they're going to do.
What, right now?
No, yesterday.
His level of acting works perfectly for this film, somehow. That's why he became an icon.
Oh, wait, they got him?
Yeah.
Because he fucked up the whole scaffold thing?
I also just love how R-rated this movie is. She just like, goes off and she's like, shit.
That was really controversial at that time.
Unfortunately, the agents catch Neo and bring him into an interrogation room where he mouths off, and then they do some pretty fucked up shit to his belly button.
Look at him thinking he's got rights.
Tell me, Mr. Anderson, what good is a phone call if you're unable to speak?
Wow. I mean...
Something to think about.
Yeah.
A lot of the graphics from this shit were sort of stolen from Aeon Flux. You remember Aeon Flux?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You see. And Trinity is totally an Aeon Flux sort of almost rip-off, the haircut and everything.
Wait a minute. If you rearrange the letters in one, you get Neo.
Yes, yes, we know.
Oh my god.
You also get Oni.
Mm-hmm.
You are the Oni.
Eno.
I mean one. You're the Eno, Neo.
There he is.
Hi.
My gap-tooth king. It's a nice spot.
I imagine
really?
That right now you're feeling a bit like Alice. Tumbling down the rabbit hole.
I love this movie.
You can say that.
I'm still in awe of the glasses that don't wrap around the ears. Like, there's no, like, handle for his ears.
It's a crazy innovation.
I really was astounded the first time I saw that. Like I still am.
Oh, it's pills time.
All right, this is the part where we all become racist.
After this, you take the blue pill.
You're not a racist. You're just chilling.
You're just cool. Whatever you want. You take the red pill, and you become J.K. Rowling.
And I show you.
I forgot that guy from The Sopranos is in this.
Oh, God.
And he's fucking great.
Joey Pants.
He's the best. They never really explain this.
It's like an acid trip.
What if you were unable to wake from that dream?
It's going into replication.
It looks like he just drank a high C, you know what I'm saying?
No, it wasn't high C, it was Capri Sun.
Oh yeah.
The reference I'm making is to the old Capri Sun Liquid Cool commercials where the kids all turn into liquid puddles while drinking Capri Sun and playing basketball or whatever.
Damn, this guy can't get a break with weird shit happening to his body.
Here is where Neo wakes up in the real world, naked, floating in a pod filled with goo, before a robot, seeing that he is awake, ejects him from the pod, dropping him into a body of water where he is then rescued by the homies, aka the Red Pill crew.
I think my favorite joke on The Sopranos is when AJ gets Carmela a DVD of The Matrix for her birthday.
A DVD of The Matrix. Thank you, AJ.
The Matrix. I haven't seen it yet.
What up, Arali?
Welcome to the real world. None of us have cool clothes here.
Sorry, this is how we dress here.
Far from it.
Send me back.
Moth-eaten sweaters, baby. Get used to it. Oh, yeah.
Acupuncture.
This reminds me of the Nutty Professor. And he's getting the acupuncture, still hungry.
I don't know the Nutty Professor like that.
Well,
this reminds me of the Nutty Professor where Eddie Murphy is playing a grandma with giant boobs. Kind of a lot like that part.
This reminds me of the Nutty Professor when Eddie Murphy wakes up from reality and he's in the future.
It was a weird turn for that movie to take.
So is it that like all the humans are feeding something, like they just feed off of their energy or something?
Mm-hmm.
Which is generated by them having like fake lives?
Well,
in a fake world.
They stay alive, they're conscious by projecting them into a fake world. Yeah, exactly.
I see. And to like to what end?
To you, so that the robots can have power.
Why do the robots want power?
No, literal power. Like battery
power. But what do they want it for?
To stay
battery
alive.
Power, to be alive.
Oh, but why do they want to be alive for? Like, what do they do?
Because they're sentient, they're AI, they're artificial intelligence. You mean you want me to explain the entire movie before even watching it?
Oh, no. Fine.
Panducto.
I'm so the hottest hot. Person in the world.
It's unbelievable.
She just like waits for him to do that yeah. so she can get up and just like
just
brush
take
her
off
hair
her
back.
Welding mask. And
the ones you don't know, Tank and his big brother Joseph. The little one behind you is Mouse.
This unsurprisingly named Mouse.
Yeah. The big one, we call him Big.
The big one is called Giant Big Guy. And the little one is called Teensy Little Creature.
That guy over here we just called Regular.
This one, Ace of Base. Got Joey fucking Pants over here, okay? Over here, welding something, is the hottest woman in the world who you'll soon fall in love with. All right, so here's the thing.
Okay.
Watch what he does. This is a big thing for me in the Matrix. Right?
The noises we're making are in response to the fact that they've just stuck a rod into the input in the back of Neo's head to plug him into one of their own simulations.
All right, so just hold that for later.
Okay. Yeah.
So no matter how many times I'm sure they told him, Keanu Reeves just couldn't remember that he had a steel rod in the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just he kept moving his head, where you could obviously you could see obviously like there's no way that he can move his head if they put that fucking steel rod.
Sure
in
they
the
can.
Back.
Why can't he move his head?
No, he's like moving his head. Like, look, if you have a steel rod in the back of your head,
uh-huh.
you can't go like this.
He's just like, look. I can't remember my lines at the same time
Listen,
as also
I
remembering
never
that there's
the
a steel
actor
rod.
For things like that.
Okay. Whatever the what,
just,
what
if the director saw it and were like, you're doing a good job. Why
well, the directors stop? Fucked it up then. It's annoying.
Damn.
I just think that Keanu,
shots fired.
Keanu's good.
Pew, pew, pew.
No, I think Keanu's good too.
Keanu's a good actor.
I think Keanu's good. I don't think Keanu Reeves is a good actor.
I do think Keanu.
I think Keanu Reeves is a great movie star.
He's charismatic.
Yeah. I do not think he's a good actor.
I think
actor.
You guys are saying the same thing. I mean, being charismatic doesn't translate to being a good actor.
A lot of people are just, I like
he
watching him.
He acts the exact same in every movie.
He's good looking.
Yeah.
He's charismatic as fuck. Look,
in
he's
film?
He's.
Yeah, I like watching good looking people.
Okay.
All right. Cutting edge director over here. yeah, no. Keanu's Keanu. I'm not, I mean, shit, I love this movie. And I like other movies that he's done.
I like lots of movies, such as The Truman Show.
I like yeah. movies.
You like The Truman Show?
All right, you can unpause.
Okay. I wanted to point out, you know, that it seems, I think that living in a dream world where you're simply powering machines for robots gets a bad rap. It seems kind of nice. Looks like a nice little womb. And I, for one, am happy for my robot overlords to remember that I said
they
that.
They killed the sun themselves?
The humans?
The humans destroyed
the
sun? The
humans didn't destroy the sun. They destroyed the sky.
The atmosphere, so you can't yeah. see the sun. Why would they do that?
Because they thought
because
that it would
bad.
Cut the power off.
But then it would cut the power off for them as well.
No.
Because there's no food.
No, whatever. It's not a perfect movie. The fucking...
I don't get that. That's the one thing I don't get.
No,
listen,
no, but
this
they
guy's
tried to...
A
the,
lot
but
of
the,
questions,
so, the,
okay.
the robots were solar powered. That's why. They tried to block their sun source. Because
so
they thought,
humans are solar powered too.
I get it, but we also have hydroponics. We also have we could grow shit
yeah,
indoors.
We do.
Anyway,
oh my god,
this is way nerdier than it needs to be.
Okay. I mean, it's the Matrix. I think
that's
it's inherently nerdy.
No, I mean the conversation about it.
Okay,
all right, let's go. Let's stick to the bigger issues.
No, her boobs are pretty cool. I take it back.
Thank you. I noticed that when she was wearing that sweater as well. I was yeah. just like, those boobs are pretty good. Oh, yeah, puke.
White puke. Because he's been eating liquefied dead bodies, right?
Yeah, it comes out white.
I know kung fu.
Show me. This is a spot.
The gong.
And hit me, if you can.
Lawrence Fishburne's kind of hot.
He was mad hot.
Yeah.
For years.
This movie's hot. Come on.
I never really thought of him as being hot before.
Well, you must have not seen him in his prime.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
I have seen him in that.
But he's not in that.
Yes, he is. Plays the orderly in the hospital with the kids.
The hot orderly.
Yeah.
This had never been like, we had never seen fighting like this in an American movie.
Right.
This is the first time that they actually took just regular actors from America and actually trained them in a real way and filmed it in a real way.
Yeah, it looks like a fans kung fu movie.
Exactly. So for fans of kung fu movies, it's crazy.
I wonder who choreographed this.
Yuen Woo-ping.
Very famous martial arts choreographer. Yeah.
This is such a good movie.
I need you to take your clothes off now, Neo.
If only.
Seriously.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
What the fuck? Why does he keep talking like this to me?
So, you can only get to the Matrix if you, like, plug into a thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, were they in the Matrix? Was he in the Matrix before? Like, when he was plugged into the machine?
That was their own simulation system that was separate from the Matrix. It's like, imagine, like, playing SimCity versus SimCity online.
Okay, I've never played that game.
It's not the Matrix. They can create spaces and create shit the same way they create the Matrix. You know, like it's a program. They plug you into the Matrix.
So they created the Matrix?
No, man.
The robots created the Matrix, fuck. Emily.
What? Don't get mad at me.
Emily, the evil robots created the fake world. Neo was ripped out of the fake world. Now he's on the fucking Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's going through different training simulations.
There's two fake worlds.
There's only one fake world.
They make programs. It's like, imagine having like a little program on your computer.
So the Matrix is a program within the fake world?
No.
Oh my God, it is the fake world. Are you serious right now?
No, I'm not being serious.
Wait, hold on. Drew, let me handle this. I'm married to the world.
I am being serious.
I'll bite my tongue, sweetie.
The Matrix is the reality that he was in when you first saw him in the movie.
That's what I fucking asked you, and you said that was different.
That's not what you asked.
You asked where the program that he was in when he was doing the building jump. You asked if that was the Matrix.
No, I was not talking about. I said when he was plugged in to the robots, like when he was like in the very beginning.
Yes,
that
he
was
in the Matrix.
That's what I was asking.
Okay, well now I feel like I'm mansplaining.
Well, we didn't know what the hell you were saying. All right, go ahead. No one knew what you were talking about.
I bite my head off. I was right the whole time.
Yeah, you weren't right the whole time.
Yes, you were.
About what you were asking.
You were unclear about what I was asking.
Because
I
you
was
didn't.
Also unclear.
So was he. There's only two people in this room who could respond to you, and you were unclear to both of them. Love you
but
so much.
It's your fault that you misunderstood what
I
asked.
Wait, it's not your fault that you didn't express yourself clearly.
I said in the beginning when he was plugged into the machine. Was that the Matrix? And Drew said, no, that was a different program.
No, but neither of us would have imagined that you were talking about that. Because of course it was the fucking Matrix.
We misunderstood you.
I understand.
Okay? And we're sorry.
You misunderstood.
I believe women.
Okay.
Please delete that.
I'm not deleting it.
It's potentially an agent.
I do.
Inside the Matrix. I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
I'm going to be real with you. Everyone who's faced an agent has died, but you're probably different.
Due to some technical difficulties, Drew's microphone cut out here for a little while, but he's a pretty loud person, so you can mostly still hear him.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets? No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
But if I did have to, could I?
Word, but just in case, like I could do that. Nah, don't even worry about that.
Let's not talk about that now.
Okay, but what if someone's shooting me?
Let's talk about it another time, Neo.
I have kind of a dumb question that they may have explained and I wasn't kind of paying attention.
No.
Did they explain, like, why does Morpheus think that? Do we know yet?
Not yet. You find out. No.
Why Morpheus thinks he's the one?
Yes.
Like, why does Morpheus think that one is the Neo?
Why does he think that Eon? is the Neo. Why does he think that Eno is the Neo?
Wait, what are you doing?
I'm going up to get the rest of the ice cream.
No.
Can we smoke?
Can we
have a cigarette?
Oh my god.
Can we have a cigarette break?
Yes. And we're back. All right.
Okay.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
To finish this motherfucking
we're ready.
Movie? Okay.
All right.
Killing machine designed for one thing.
Search and destroy.
Killing machine designed for one thing. A killing, actually. That's
right. I don't know why, but I always think of, like, there was this Entertainment Weekly article, like, reviewing the You've Got Mail DVD, talking about how high-tech the You've Got Mail DVD was, and then it was like, imagine what the Matrix DVD is going to be like.
That's very ridiculous.
And I specifically remember being like, yeah, it's going to be pretty sick.
Well, you have to.
Every IT guy's screensaver in 2000.
So you're here to save the world. What do you say to something like that?
Okay.
Whoa.
Little piece of advice. You see an agent, you do what we do. Run.
After this delightful chat between Neo and Joey Pants, aka Cypher, we learn that Cypher is about to sell out the homies to the agents in return for forgetting everything and re-entering the Matrix as someone important, like an actor.
Is he a snitch?
Yep.
Then we have a
dealer. Woo! Gonna get dressed up, yeah, in the motherfucking Matrix, yeah. Take it down now, sweetie.
Huh? Gonna go back in the Matrix. Gonna go see the chick about destiny. Wanna learn about my destiny, then I'm gonna go fight the bad guys.
Yeah.
Drum and bass.
Probably some cell phones involved.
Grammy.
Gonna get out of these shitty clothes into these really cool leather clothes.
Gonna wear a green tie. Do you like my green tie? Because I spent a long time trying to pick out the color.
Wasn't really sure about this shade of green, but ultimately I think it looks pretty cool. What do you think?
And our hair gets cooler. We all got hair gel.
We'll be back now.
Hair gel in the Matrix. Neo, do you mind if we go back and change my tie? I've really been thinking about this, and I don't think it was the right color at all.
Green? I don't know.
I think it was a real swing and a miss on this tie.
Meanwhile, Morpheus takes Neo to see the Oracle to suss out if he is, in fact, the one.
I told you I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it.
Okay. I bet you thought it was a metaphor, but really I was talking about a physical door.
Just open it and go through. It's fine.
Most people usually make that mistake. It's it's my bad, actually.
Because I only speak in riddles.
I can't open doors.
These are the other potentials. You can wait here.
They all came on the same day. A little awkward.
Potential ones?
Mm-hmm.
Damn near.
Potential Enos.
Yeah, they can make shit float, but no, you're probably the one, though.
No, but nobody wears a tailored suit like you.
Just don't sit next to those little bald kid. He usually does the thing with the spoon. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah, God.
Neo's like, fuck. I can't do any of that cool shit.
There's no spoon.
There's no spoon. The Oracle will see you now.
The kids are like, we were actually here for longer.
Yeah.
Feels like we should probably go in first.
What is it?
Deja vu is usually a glitch in the Matrix.
Isn't that like not what deja vu is though?
No, yeah, it's not.
Let's go.
That always kind of bothered me.
No, that is what deja vu is.
Deja vu is when something happens and you're just like, oh, I could have sworn that's happened to me before.
Right.
But not immediately.
No, I know, but this the fucking movie. But you would say, whatever. It's a truncated version.
I don't know if I'd say that's deja vu. I'd say that's fucking weird.
That's why you're not in the fucking Matrix.
That's true. Or am I?
I don't know where he is.
After the deja vu incident, we learn that the agents have changed the matrix and bricked up the exit, so our heroes end up busting a hole in the wet wall, and here we see them attempting to escape by inching their way down the narrow space between the walls.
This is such a fucking iconic shot.
They're in a pipe?
Yeah, they're in between, they're in the wet wall.
I don't know too much about wet walls.
It's like the plumbing and everything that runs down a building. There's a space.
It was a failed sex joke.
No. Man, this movie's really cool.
Yeah, it really is.
They're starting to have an inkling that he's a...
Not yet. No, they didn't really. They're just like, what? That's weird.
Come on, guys. Open your eyes. Take the red pill of knowing who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a jerk.
Right.
I think he's a big jerk.
He has a goatee, for God's sakes.
It's not even really a goatee, is it?
Exactly.
Okay, so a lot has just happened. First, Cypher calls Tank to be brought back to the real world and lies, saying that the others were in a car crash. Then, once he gets back, he attempts to kill Tank, he does kill Dozer, and then he calls Trinity, who is still in the Matrix, to confess his entire betrayal, as well as his attraction to her, with his face creepily close to her face the whole time. The one on her physical body that she cannot move. It is disgusting. Then he starts unplugging people who are also in the Matrix, killing them. But then Tank, who we thought was dead, shows up and kills Cypher with a ray gun, and then brings Neo and Trinity back to the real world. Unfortunately, Morpheus has been captured by the agents in the Matrix, so the homies begin to discuss the possibility of unplugging him so that he can't give the agents the access codes to the Zion mainframe, which is a thing that I don't totally understand, but luckily, Neo intervenes.
It's gonna be a real bitch going through all 3.5 hours of this to find 30 minutes of usable material.
Is he just killing people, though?
They're in the Matrix.
These are just people in pods? Or are they part of the programming?
They're people in pods.
So he's killing innocent people?
Yep.
Oh no.
But they're working for the system.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Listen, Emily, this is really timely to what's going on right now.
It is. Sweetie, should we do this as a couple's Halloween costume? I think in the year 2020, we should definitely do a Matrix couples costume.
I'll be Cypher.
Great. Matrix time, fighting stuff. Yeah. Shooting cops wearing leather. Running around and lots of stuff is blowing up everywhere.
Everything blowing up, but we're running in slow motion.
Wearing sunglasses, yeah. In the fucking Matrix.
Doing cartwheels.
Having so much fun in our black leather, yeah.
Yeah. Shooting shit, even if the innocent gonna die.
Oh. Really cool outfits.
Jamie doesn't like these outfits.
Jamie doesn't know anything.
It kind of seems like they walked in on them making
what?
Out.
What? Nothing. Not kissing it. I wasn't smelling him.
Unfortunately, at this point, Drew's mic cut out again for the rest of the podcast, so I apologize if you have a hard time hearing him. That's my bad.
Find them and destroy them. Is that dude hot? Agent Smith? He's not really. It's kind of weird looking. No? I mean, he's kind of like weird hot. Oh. Ooh.
I think that what you was just like free sex here.
I'd be like, excuse me?
I real life he's Australian. Free sex here. You want to have a little bit of a sex?
How can anybody say no to that? Woo!
Oh, boy.
Wait, what are they changing into?
They can be anyone that's plugged into the Matrix. They can get into anyone.
Right. So then when someone gets like killed, they go back to who they were. I've never seen anyone move that fast.
So you saw that thing? The computer program takes over actual people?
Yes, baby. The agents can go and take anyone in there and become them.
Oh.
After re-entering the Matrix and fighting and beating a bunch of bad guys while wearing cool outfits, Neo and Trinity hijack a helicopter in an attempt to bust out Morpheus, who escapes by jumping through the window into the arms of Neo.
Aw, they're gonna hug. Yeah. Motherfucking Matrix hug. Hugging on your boys. You're excited to see your boys back, and you wanna hug them in midair.
Matrix reunion. Everybody's hanging again. And hanging literally.
Even when you're in danger, it's time for a Matrix hug. Matrix hug's gonna make it better, yeah.
Matrix hug. Meow. Such a good movie.
It's just so iconic.
It's just so goddamn good.
It's just so good.
Are they gonna kiss?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh. Oh, because we got fucking Dr. Buzzkill coming in.
Oh, third wheel Morbius.
More like cock blockius. It took you a second.
We got there, baby.
Hey, guys, what's up? Were you about to do something, or... I'm so here.
Like, I had a whole plan about like saving the world and stuff. If you want
to go somewhere just the three of us to talk about it.
He just pops up every time. So.
They're like.
Do you believe? Oh, I'm my bad. Were you just? Can I talk now?
Were you guys having a moment?
Okay.
Or?
Do you believe it now?
What's that?
That's how they beam out.
Oh.
It was like the Star Trek.
Oh, he's gonna become the guy. The homeless guy. Oh no. Haven't the homeless suffered
enough?
Listen,
shh.
Mr. Anders. Run, Neo, run.
Nah.
What is he doing?
Nah, dog.
He's beginning to believe.
He's about to go one on their ass.
He is Eno.
Ooh. More Matrix hugging, but evil hugging. Ooh. Broke my cool glasses.
Did they really just learn how to do this?
Yeah. They trained for like a year.
Keanu is still doing martial arts films.
You can't do this anymore.
What? What do you mean?
You can't have actors train for a year to make a movie anymore. They don't do this shit anymore.
I don't know.
He's very good.
He is. He's great. Presence. No, he's amazing.
He's got it. Damn, they're being attacked in both worlds. Shit is crazy. Ooh.
After getting Trinity and Morpheus out of the Matrix, Neo has a showdown with the agent in the subway station, and in the end, it appears that the agent has won.
I always thought it was such a bummer way to end the movie.
Shut up.
You can't.
Really? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm actually keeping my options open right now. I kind of just got all this.
I actually require consent for this type of thing. I'm not really.
Right.
in a state right now where I can give that consent?
Well, it turns out that Neo is actually not dead because he is, in fact, the One, and he can stop bullets in the air and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Maybe do this quicker, Neo. They're all,
yeah.
You know, they're kind of in a bad situation over there in the real world.
So why did the Oracle lie to him?
She just guided him. Don't you get it?
Remember when she said that thing about, like, if I hadn't told you not to break the vase, would you break the vase?
Right.
Vase or vase?
This is great.
Not now, Drew.
Okay. He's not even here.
Look at him.
He needs to beat the shit out of this guy with one hand tied by his back.
Oh, that guy's got yellow lining in his suit? That's nice.
Perk of being an agent.
Yeah. Special effects team was like, okay, but I'm gonna have a little piece of it. They were like, no, just have it explode. And they're like, I think just a tiny piece of his face is flying through the air screaming. They're like, trust me on this one.
Right in the nick of time.
What's that?
The EMP, that's like their only weapon, electromagnetic pulse. Which destroys all electronics.
Right, which means that if he was still in the Matrix, he'd be pretty dead. Oh,
woo!
Shit.
Different but equally cool hair. Actually, not as cool. But still nice, I can tell.
With slightly more mature hair.
Someone put a lot of product in that hair, yeah. Why didn't they come out with a Matrix line of sunglasses?
I think they did.
I'm sure they did.
I promise you they did.
I'm hopping on eBay the second this movie's over. Woo! All right.
That's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's a fucking great movie.
It's great.
And the second and the third one are really not, really just not great.
Yeah.
The highway chasing's good.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you could name a scene that's good, but this shit was wall-to-wall banger.
It's a wall-to-wall banger. Yeah. It's pretty great.
You hear the Rage Against the Machine sound at the end.
I forgot that it ended with that. I was pretty excited.
Is it a coincidence that I spoke to Zach today? I don't think so.
What are you talking about?
That last song is a Rage song.
Oh, well, now I've seen The Matrix.
Emily, what do you think of it?
Pretty good. Pretty good movie.
What was your favorite part?
Was it the scene with Cock Blockius?
What's up, guys?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I talk now? Okay. Do you believe you're the One? No? Now?
The Oracle told me.
I did like the scene with the Oracle. She's like, oh, don't worry about it. My kids will fix it. I just keep them around so they can pretty much just kind of fix and do things around the house.
Yeah, they can levitate.
I told them they might be the One, but they're not. None of them are.
But, you know, can't tell them that. They definitely wouldn't even come back.
You're definitely not the Oracle either. Can you help me fix this floodlight?
Never thought about how she just keeps, you know, like children like around levitating.
Yeah.
Just basically to fix shit because they can do cool shit.
And, you know, to look cool when people show up. Should we call it?
Yes.
All right, we're calling it.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Panducto Quarantcast.
Had a blast, guys.
The Panducto Quarantcast is created by Jamie Moline and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks for listening. Okay, see you next time.
Should we just do a little credit singing?
All right, singing? Well, we do a thing on this
we
show.
We should just take it back. There's no need to introduce it. All right. Executive producers, Andy Wachowski, Larry Wachowski, Irwin Stafford, Bruce something, director of photography, Bill Pope. Product designer, Owen Patterson. editor Dan Stanberg.
Dan Cracciolo co-produced this.
What?
Keep down the reeds.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne, not Larry, but just Lawrence. Carrie Ann.
Hugo Weaving.
Gloria Foster.
So you're not really on the beat.
Joe Pantoliano.
Motherfucking Joe Pants. Marcus Chong.
Don't tell me about the beat. I fucking invented credit singing.
That's a pretty good Zach.
Melly Finn, Shauna Wolf, Kim Barrett, Don Davis.
Music composed, orchestrated, and conducted by.
Oh my, you're too loud.
John Gatta, visual effects supervisor extraordinaire. It's a Warner Bro production. In association with the Village Roadshow.
Okay.
Silver Pictures production. So fast. It moves so fast.